Well, what's being done to try to invigorate Auckland City Centre and to address safety concerns? The pandemic has impacted on the way people work, trade and patronise in the central city. On the show yesterday, we talked about how the once vibrant city centre is missing international tourists and workers reluctant to return to the office. Also, how a proliferation of empty shops for let and the ongoing disruptive, noisy City Rail Link construction project have affected the face of the city. Running alongside this, police statistics show crime has increased in the Auckland City Centre in the past year. Well, to discuss how to rise above the challenges, we welcome the interim CE of Heart of the City, Steve Armitage. Morning.
Good morning, Catherine.
Heart of the City, of course, Auckland City Centre Business Association. And thanks and welcome to Inspector Gray Anderson, who's the Acting Area Commander for Auckland Central. Great to have you with us, Gray. Thank you.
Good morning, Catherine. Good morning, Steve.
Gray, can I start with you? We heard yesterday from the Inner City Residents Association there talking about the, 40,000, 45,000 people living in this, what used to be referred to as the CBD, but living in the city central area, many of them kids, talked about the lack of parks and facilities, and also no local police station. If you could start with what you wish police in cooperation with others could provide there, do you think you're providing it yet, or is there more that could happen?
Look, Catherine, there's always more work that can be done, and that's collaborating with our partners as well. So it's not just a policing issue in totality, so I need to be clear on that. But we are always looking at opportunities where we can improve our service delivery to the public. As I've said over recent months, we have been investing ourselves in developing a patrol base. And that isn't a short-term solution by any means, and it's something we'd actually turned our minds to several years ago. But obviously with COVID, that flipped things on its head. But over the last 3 months, we've gained some significant traction on that patrol base. And that is only a matter of weeks away from opening. It's just some final fit out and so forth that's going to see us with a presence back and closer towards the city.
So what will it be? Won't be a station as such, but what will a patrol base physically look like?
So, no, it won't be a front-facing police station, so it won't be one of those stations where people will visit, and it won't be manned with a public counter. But it will have an active presence. So we'll have the area prevention team and my beat teams will be housed out of that station. They'll be deploying from there. They're a bit closer to the city centre. And it just allows for ease of deployment. So we can do that in vehicles, but we can also do it much more easily on foot.
How would you characterise the idea of beat policing in this area at the moment, and are you intending to increase it?
So, like any other district, we do have a limited resource, but we do have sufficient quantities of staff with our beat teams. So we have three teams. They're comprised of about 10 officers each, and they will be out there, like I mentioned, on foot or in vehicles. That will be walking the streets, engaging with our rough sleeping community, and engaging with our vulnerable communities, but also engaging with our business partners. So getting in there and speaking with the owners and operators of businesses, giving them that reassurance, prevention advice. I've got to say, though, that's something we do and have done for a long, long time. But on the back of COVID, we've had to reinvigorate it. So we've had to educate some of our teams. They haven't undertaken these types of duties before. So we've had to upskill them, and that's taken a skill set build. Some people might say, well, it's as easy as walking down the street. It isn't. There has to be an approach to it. It has to be structured, and it has to be, it has to have a science behind it as well.
What are some of the key issues that I guess are pandemic specific? There are multiple factors hitting this area. We mentioned the City Rail Link, disruptions to businesses, empty shops. But you mentioned the rough sleepers. We are hearing from others who are working in this area that is absolutely an issue, that it is a population that that gets moved on. But there are clearly issues both for the group itself and their well-being, but also for others. And second, perhaps a growth in young people's behaviour, antisocial behaviour as well. What are you seeing from the last 2.5 years?
Well, let me address the second point first, if I may, and that's around the young people. So, yeah, we've seen a lot of kids not at school over the last 2 years, and I guess some parents haven't encouraged their kids to go back post the school's opening, you know, when everything started to normalise, shall we say. The unfortunate consequence of that is you do have some young people putting themselves in vulnerable situations, exposing themselves to some harm, and they're getting themselves involved in criminal acts. So, you know, a lot of that comes down to good parenting or good advice. But often as well, some of these parents may not be aware that their kids are actually skipping school. So we've got dedicated officers that work around those issues with their partners. And they get involved and they're actively encouraging those children to reinvest in their educations, do the right thing, get back in there, and not essentially corrupt themselves. In terms of the rough sleeper community, look, these are some of society's most vulnerable. Admittedly, some do choose that lifestyle, but others are forced into it. And it's a really unfortunate situation. And again, we can do our part, council does their part, and many of our partners do, Heart of the City, Māori Wardens, Pacific Wardens and so forth. And unfortunately, it's often a situation you can lead that horse to water, but you can't often make them drink. So how do we as a society get these people looked after, get them supported as best we can?
How do you describe the situation there at the moment? Again, we heard from the resident yesterday that because of the growing absence or the failure to return to the sorts of, you know, normal life activities pre-pandemic, there's also a lack of social policing, right? If there's fewer people around, if the environment has changed, that's a factor as well. I mean, how do you describe it? Is it quite frightening, to be frank, for some people to be out in this area at certain times?
Look, I think that's going to come down to each individual's own sensibilities and their own vulnerabilities that they might see in themselves or others. So, you know, pre-pandemic, a lot of these issues did exist. Let's not be blind to that. But many of them were masked by the volume of people that would be walking up and down Queen Street, along Tay Road and all those other vibrant parts of the city, okay? So, but with the absence of people around the city, over the last few years, that is more and more visible to those who choose to still go into the city or those who live there. So I'm not surprised that they're alarmed by it, but not having the population in the city centre, you're quite right. It doesn't allow for that social element of policing where their mere presence can deter some criminal acts. We can have them reported to us and we can respond in a timely fashion. So there's some real hurdles there, I think. You know, again, how do we get people back into the city? We've got organisations that are encouraging their employees to continue to work from home. There are some limitations on access to the city due to CRL or other construction. You know, there are a number of issues that all culminate, and it's got to be looked at with a far greater lens.
Well, it becomes a vicious cycle too, doesn't it? Because the prospect of some of those former commercial offices becoming apartments and we're seeing a growing living population in this area is also going to be affected by perceptions of living there. Gray, I wonder if we could just finish with that reference to the police base you are optimistic is not far from coming back, based around Federal Seat, I understand, as we said, not public facing, but a base where police can leave by foot or car. How are you approaching these social, heavily social based offences in situations that people are in, whether it's youth, whether it's those without a home who are making their home on the streets? You mentioned the skill set. How are you approaching it and dealing with it?
So we've got some really skilled people internally, and what it is imparting that knowledge and those skills onto our more junior staff. So our BEAT teams and our public safety teams tend to be those fledgling officers, you know, the first sort of two years or so of their careers, with some very experienced officers alongside them. So it's a knowledge transfer, and it's training, and it's equipping them, and it's exposure to it. So it's through living and breathing the some really quite old school tactics of policing, but it's getting out there and doing the work, talking to people, engaging with them. And as I mentioned before, that could be the shopkeepers, that could be the business owners. But it's also some of our key partners, the managers involved in those key partnerships as well. But also the people at the very heart of it, and those are the ones affected by their living situation, their environment.
Thank you for your time. That is Gray Anderson, who is the area acting area commander for Auckland Central. We couldn't get specific crime increase statistics for this central city area that we're talking about, but across the Auckland district, to the end of February 2022, we're seeing reported crime up 27% compared to a year earlier. Let's bring in Steve Armitage now, the interim chief executive of Heart of the City. Steve, what's your perspective first on what businesses and those living in this area have been experiencing?
Well, thanks, Catherine. First of all, I just want to acknowledge Gray and his team and also the Māori and Pacific Wardens for the role that they do play. And it's obviously pleasing to hear that there is going to be a base re-established back in the city centre. That's vitally important, and we're pleased to hear that confirmed. We're also playing a more prominent role in the space, which is not traditionally an area that Heart of the City or business improvement districts in general would tend to operate. So we have just signed off our latest plan for the forthcoming year, which includes a doubling of investment in safety initiatives, which is primarily targeted on just maintaining a visible awareness of what's going on in particular hotspots. Obviously not an enforcement role there, but making sure that we're linking into the police on a regular basis to keep them appraised of what our people are seeing on the ground. It's not something we would want to be doing ongoing, but we're accepting, you know, as Gray indicated, that there is a role for us all to play in order to get this back on track. Pleasingly, though, I would have to say I'm seeing some positive signs. And, you know, we talk about the need to bring people back into the city. Pedestrian count is tracking up month on month, which is great. It's a little bit lumpy towards the back end of the week. Obviously, people are quite keen to work from home on a Friday, but pleasingly, the numbers across the weekend are starting to pick back up. And we look at the weekend just gone with the All Blacks test match and the Warriors playing in Auckland. The weekend prior with Matariki, you know, good numbers of people coming back into the city and good feedback from businesses as a result of that.
However, there are potentially entrenched social issues allied to either criminal or antisocial behaviour, right? We're looking at a cost of living crisis that is going to affect those with the least incomes. We're looking at a lot of youth disengaged from school, a frightening percentage of children just falling off school rolls. And it may be there is a longer recovery than just, oh, everyone comes back to town to shop or have their lattes. I'm interested in what the businesses themselves are telling you about what they are dealing with day to day and with what they see the needs as.
Well, I, the sense that I'm getting from the conversations I've been privy to, and bearing in mind I've only been in the role for a couple of weeks, is that there is confidence returning. We're starting to see that with increased interest in the vacant tenancies. We've had some good positive news in recent weeks around a number of international retailers who are keen to come back into the Auckland CBD, and some smaller players too who are seeing opportunities to come in given that rental rates have come down quite markedly. So there is a sense that there's, you know, we're re-establishing ourselves, but yeah, personally I think we're lacking a little bit of identity at the moment. We have a city centre that has arguably been geared up more for the international market, and as a result we've lost a little bit of a connection to local community. So I think there's a challenge for us in terms of re-establishing that connection back to Aucklanders in the first instance. And that comes down to our identity and our storytelling piece as well. We haven't done enough, in my view, to encourage and celebrate our diversity and to see that reflected in the way that the city is presented and how we visually present the city to visitors and to our local customers. And I think that's a challenge that we need to be mindful of as we start to see people come back in numbers.
Are you talking about making it a destination for Auckland residents rather than a transit point and perhaps a shopping place for, as you say, international visitors? This is very interesting just talking to our guests yesterday, Garth Falconer and Anthony Phillips, and I'm sure you'll all be on different positions about whether areas should be pedestrianised or what an anchor project, you know, an anchor might be for the city, what used to be referred to as the CBD. But are you on board with that, that actually it needs to reinvent what people think it is and what it offers?
I think it does. I think there's a need for Aucklanders to have a sense of connection and respect for their city centre first and foremost. So that's part of the challenge that we're going to be taking on board around, you know, how we look at positioning the city longer term and bringing people more closer to how we develop our narrative. I think what we've recently seen with Matariki, for example, in partnership with Ngāti Whātua, some amazing activations that have been delivered on Queen Street in partnership with Auckland Council, which for the first time in a long time bring Māori art, Māori storytelling right to the forefront. Now, I would argue that young Māori see that, and that gives them a sense of place. You know, that I can relate to that. I feel more comfortable being in an environment where I can see myself and my culture being depicted more strongly. And that's something that I think we need to be much more mindful of and delivering on.
Thanks very much. Steve Armitage is with Heart of the City. He is its interim chief executive. Of course, Viv Beck, the previous CE, is campaigning to be mayor currently.